Adam Summerton joining us, the TNT Serie A voice for the UK. Dan, Emmett, David in studio. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to ask you about some of your favourite Serie A moments this season. You've called so many good games and we're keen to hear your thoughts. What really got you going this season?
Pretty much every Sunday night really got me going, because we've been really lucky at the quality of the games, and not just that, but more the drama in the games. There's always something, whether it's coaches being sent off or late goals. We've had a lot of late goals actually on Sunday nights, where we're lucky to get a lot of the big head-to-heads. So, and that's been another thing as well this season, that because the race for the Champions League places, the race for the league, everything has all been so tight that there have been so many great head-to-heads as well on the Sunday nights. It's felt like we've had one almost every week, really, of real significance. So that's really played a part. Just the general calcio chaos I feel like I'm saying every week at the moment, but I suppose it's hard to look past the Inter-Juve 4-4 draw, isn't it? In terms of, you know, the game of the season, that was a spectacular match. Ironically, I didn't actually get to cover that. I did the other game that night, but it was a fantastic game. I think if I were to pick out a moment that really stands out for me, it would be perhaps for the Milan derby in September, where, if you remember, Milan went into it struggling under, you know, the manager Fonseca at the time, and the players were under a lot of criticism, a lot of pressure. And then for a hometown boy, a Milan supporter, Gabbia, to score the winner in such dramatic circumstances, somebody who'd stood on the terraces with his granddad as a kid, you know, so something that has a strong affinity with the club. That for me was one of the moments of the season, really. I just thought that was absolutely brilliant.
I feel like Milan, they're missing that now. Like when you think of the Sacchis and the Capello era and that bond, the Maldinis and everything, now Milan is really missing that bond, and Gabbia kind of rekindles that feeling for a lot of Milan supporters. And you know, the way you've described it, they're absolutely perfect. Emmett and I were at that game. You're actually behind the goal where he scored that.
Yeah, I was in the Inter fans in the first level, and Gabbia scored in that end, and it was just, you could hear a pin drop.
And they were huge underdogs.
Yeah.
And that's what made it even more special.
And there was, 5 minutes left? And
yeah,
it was
just a few minutes left. Yeah, well, it's a shame you didn't call that one. But so give us another special Serie A moment for this season.
Well, I think if I were to there's just been so many. I mean, we could do 3 or 4 hours probably. But if I were to look back on a game that summed up a lot of what I've been talking about to you about the Sunday nights and the chaos and the controversies, and I think a game that summed all that up really was, I don't know if you remember, Lazio 1, Fiorentina 2 at the end of January.
I was going to say that actually. Mm. Your call for the last 6 minutes of that game was brilliant.
Yeah, you retweeted thanks. That one as well. Yeah, yeah. I remember.
It was absolute, utter bedlam. It really was. And it ended up with, well, just for anyone who doesn't know, it was finished 2-1, but that doesn't really do justice to how crackers it was. With Fiorentina got two reasonably early goals in that game. Marušić had scored late on. I'm trying to remember who was sent off, but there was a red card as well. And then right in the very closing stages, it was just a siege, wasn't it, on the Fiorentina goal and just complete chaos. So it was just a brilliant game to call and to watch.
Yeah, I mean, chaos is exactly what we love. I mean, having watched Calcio for so long now, we're used to the chaos. It's probably a bit toned down these days, except for what happens on the pitch. A lot of it happens off the pitch, as we're seeing with Serie B now. But speaking of which, I'm not sure if you can see the Sampdoria jersey behind Emmett and Dan here in the studio.
But I can't actually, yeah. No. I wish I could.
I noticed during your call over the weekend that you were talking about Samp, and then all of a sudden it was like, what? There's news that maybe they're going to be saved. So what's actually your thought on that?
Yeah, well, we'd been talking in the game about how sad it was that, I think Nigel brought it up, how sad it was that Samp obviously had been relegated. But that sums up Italian football, I guess. That then I notice as I'm talking, I say, oh, actually, that's changed. Because, I was pretty focused that afternoon on the game I was actually covering, so it escaped my attention. I think about 3 or 4 o'clock
that
afternoon?
It changed in real time.
That it had come out that there was the possibility of a reprieve. So yeah, I'm correcting myself on air like 30 seconds after I said something. But that, I mean, that does just sum up, I suppose, in a way.
In your defense, it's not actually official yet, so they're still debating whether it's it's going to happen, and Brescia still have their chance to go and into the sporting bodies and appeal that. But anyway, let's get back to Serie A on this. So we've got Milan, the Milan derby. We've got also Lazio away to Fiorentina. Or was it Fiorentina away?
Fiorentina away to Lazio.
Yeah.
In Rome. Okay. What's next?
God, I'm trying to remember all the games that we've covered. There've just been so many. Obviously, the other night was great as well. You know, I don't know if you watched our coverage the other night when we're flipping from San Siro to Naples, and then you have VAR calls, goals overruled, and
I mean that was intense.
Yeah, it was, and it was another one of the moments of the season for me. You know, and there's just been so many of those. But to have a situation where you've got Napoli with a potential penalty, and I think at roughly the same time there was another VAR check, wasn't there? And then there was slightly before that there was the Arnautovic miss as well. So. I was almost commentating on two games, really, because we had the small screen of the other game. Such a reaction as well afterwards for people who were just really enjoying the chaos of it. It was really enjoyable.
It was
so
chaotic. As a spectator, I was jumping up and down when something would happen in one game. Then you'd say, hang on, over at San Siro, this has happened.
It goes to show the games being played simultaneously. Steel is an enormous part in football. It makes the theatre of football much better than having staggered games. I know that because of TV companies being involved, we're never gonna have the 2 o'clock in Italy or the 3 o'clock kickoff so you're deciding a league title. But it's just so much better, isn't it? As Adam pointed out, you're feeling like you're watching one game, but you've got to keep track of the other, another one as well.
And it adds to the drama.
It's
the
just,
tension.
Yeah, like, you know, it brings back memories of, you know, the radio transistor in the stands and, you know, people spreading news around.
Well, we can tell Dan from another time, can't we? the transistor radio. But those images of seeing Ronaldo and Del Piero on that day in 2002, wasn't it?
With Lazio and 5th of May, 2002. Yeah.
Lazio kind of halting Inter's progress there on the last day.
Yeah.
I kind of got that feeling on Sunday night as well. But yeah, and then Juventus being able to nick it from them. And that was 3 o'clock kickoff, wasn't it?
Yeah. And likewise, you know, when Lazio won the league 2 years earlier, because Juventus obviously kicked off the second half a lot later because of the rain in Perugia. Mm. At Pacto Olimpico, the game had finished and people, like 70,000 people just sitting there at the Olimpico listening to the radio because there was no way of broadcasting the game on the big screen.
So I remember the images of them stripping the Lazio players down as well, trying to steal their stuff.
Yeah.
It was great.
Adam, do you find as a commentator that's challenging? You know, you're flicking between two games. You know, do you find that when you're in work, do you find you have to call almost, as you said, two games at the same time? Is that challenging, or how do you deal with that?
It is challenging, but it's challenging in a good way. I enjoy it. The more chaotic, the better, I always find. I love that edge of your seat style of broadcasting. That's what I enjoy, really. It's what gets the heart thumping and the adrenaline going, and I really enjoy it. I mean, other people might give you a different answer. They just prefer to focus on the one game. But I think if you know that it's not, you know, it's not something that's going to happen every week, is it? If that's happening, you know that you're in the middle of something really exciting, which is where you want to be when you're broadcasting, don't you? You want to be in part of something that people are interested in, that's exciting, that's, you know, a story unfolding in front of your eyes. And that for me is what it's all about. So yeah, it is challenging, but it's challenging in a good way, and a way that I try and embrace, really. So I can remember years ago covering the final day in Ligue 1 at what was BT Sport at the time. And I think we were showing one game, but we were sort of, there was a little bit like Serie A right now. There was so many different permutations and so many things still to be decided. And I just love the fact that I've got someone in my ear going, goal at Lens, you know, that means that this has happened. And it's just, you can't be across necessarily everything when it's just you, but you can, you know, you can try, and it's really good fun. It's as I say, it certainly gets the old heart thumping, which is great.
Yeah, that's perfect. Ligue 1, it's another good league as well.
Yeah,
I was able to see a bit of Nice, and who were they playing? They were playing Brest, and that was a Champions League permutation. So yeah, absolutely brilliant over the weekend. And Serie A, one moment there, and I know Dan and Emmett there were there at the Olimpico on Sunday to see Ranieri's last match as a manager at home. What do you think of that? Is that one of the big moments of the season?
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it? And the job that he's done there, I mean, who could have envisaged that he would have the success that he has done? I remember saying when he first came back that it was the club clearly felt that they needed a unifying figure, and he was the obvious candidate for that. And look, he would only have ever come back, as he said, for Cagliari or for Roma. So for him to come back and have the level of success that he's had, and for them to still be in contention, right in contention for a Champions League place, was unthinkable when he took over. I mean, he inherited an absolute shambles. It was a mess. I mean, the club was total disharmony. I can see why a lot of the players are saying that they want him to stay. So yeah, I thought that, although I didn't cover the game, obviously, because I was doing Napoli at the weekend, I thought that once I've looked back at the pictures and the send-off that they gave him, the crowd, I mean, just typical Roma supporters, really. They are absolutely wonderful, aren't they, at the Olympico with the shows that they put on and you know, the effort that they went to with all the banners that they put together and such forth. So, and he fully deserved it as well for what he's done. Even if they don't reach the Champions League, it's been a tremendous success. And yeah, I hope he enjoys the traveling that he says he's going to go and do now.
Yeah, we're going to see if they bring him back as technical advisor. I remember at one point before they lost to Como as well, we were worried that maybe they're going to be the Sampdoria of Serie A and maybe be that big team that was in such bad form that they could go down a division.
I think in a way, if you take the title race out of the equation, I think Ranieri, what he's did at Roma is the story of the season. Because as you said, Adam, they were an absolute shambles when he came in.
Yeah, most informed team this year.
Calendar year. Yeah. And I do think what he's done is amazing. And Dan and myself, we were at the Olympico for Sunday night. And you actually got a little bit emotional because of the choreography. And after the game, there was 68,000 in attendance. And the majority of the stadium stayed. And they presented him with a trophy. Was it a loopy, a wolf?
Yeah, it was a wolf, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, they did a guard of honour for him and he gave a speech and most of the stadium stayed. And this was
fantastic.
Like 11:15 on a Sunday night. You know, people have worked the next day, but they stayed to pay their respects. And it was great to see.
One of the great emperors. You wrote on this on destinationculture.com, Dan.
Yeah, I did.
You could feel the emotion in your article.
It was, as Emma said, it was very emotional. I think we're lucky with what we do, and I'm sure Adam would agree that there are moments where I just, even being there from a professional standpoint, you get overwhelmed with the emotion of what you're witnessing. And this was definitely one of those moments. What really got me was Ranieri being shown on the big screen. You could see that it was fighting to choke back the tears as the choreography was unveiled, and there was a band on the Courvoisier that simply said, you know, a great leader and a true Romanista, you know, like, you're one of us. And during his speech after the game, I thought he struck all the right notes. Ranieri's got this great ability, I think, of never sounding like he's hyperbolic or too excited. Mm. And he said, I was one of us 60 years ago, and I wanted you to be behind me, and you've been behind me. And he thanked the fans. And I thought that was the moment that brought the house down, because everyone just started clapping. Because
A man of true greatness.
He is, absolutely.
Come on. You know, he's one of those guys that we're going to miss big time. Hopefully he stays around.
We will. We absolutely will. Because it's what Emmett and I were talking about this. He's not the sort of man that has ever looked to be in the headlines because of controversies or because of, you know, being critical of someone else. He's always took a lot of criticism he's received on the chin, and he's just stayed true to his principles. And I think he's the sort of manager you cannot like. You know, he's one of those characters, one of those figures that's just made culture what it is for the last 40 years by now.
He's loved in Italy as much as he is in England for what he's done there. And Adam, you would have seen him come and go over the last 20, 25 years as well.
What about the contrast when you talk about there about how dignified he is and isn't involved in controversies? What about the contrast in the fact that we saw 5 Serie A coaches sent off on Sunday night?
Exactly, yeah.
One of the highlights of the Serie A season, so I mean, yes.
All 4 coaches in the Inter-Napoli game sent off.
And how good was that image with Baroni and Inzaghi next to each other?
I should point out that while we were at the Olympico, there was someone checking the scores behind us, and whichever app they were using, only had like the icon of the red card, and he kept telling to the person next to him, there's been 5 red cards, like 2 red cards in Inter and Inter Lazio, and like 2 more red cards in Parma, you know, and he was thinking like which players had been sent off, and then I wonder what he must have thought when he realised the red cards were actually all managers. Coaches,
yeah. I mean, it's normal though, especially this time of year. Yeah. I think the coaches are prepared to take one for the team just to sort of, you know, disrupt the flow of the game.
Those drop scenario though was probably the first time I can remember where the managers of the 2 title contenders won't be on the touchline on the final day of the season.
Yeah. Do you think that'll play a role, Adam, in the final day with no managers on the sideline?
I think it could, actually, because if I'm to think of a coach who I've often looked at Conte. I mean, that guy gets his steps in on the touchline, doesn't he? But I've looked at him on the touchline all his career, and the thing that always comes to me is I call him a coaching puppeteer, because if you look at him on the touchline, he is pulling players all the time into different positions and telling them exactly where he wants them to be in any given moment. And I do, and whilst I'm quite sure that some of the players become momentarily deaf and just accidentally don't hear him at times, they probably are, for the majority of the time, they probably are listening to what he's saying and moving into the positions he wants. So I think if you're to think of any team and any coach where that might be more of an issue than most, I would say probably Conte's teams that could affect more than most. I'm not saying that these players aren't capable of making their own minds up and where to play, but when you're so used to a coach who throughout every single minute of every single game is telling players where they need to be and pulling them into position.
I can tell you now, Adam,
could affect things.
It could, but anyone that's ever had Italian grandparents can tell you never make eye contact with the boss. So that's what they're doing when they're not looking at Antonio Conte or Simone Inzaghi.
And also this throws up the scenario where Lele Oriale, who's Conte's assistant manager, will have a much more prominent figure on Friday. And obviously Oriale is an Inter Milan legend. So you'll have this sort of strange paradox where a man who's won titles with Inter is going to try and stop his former club from winning the league.
Yeah, and also... we all know at the Sinigalia where Como plays, the media box, probably where Simone Inzaghi is going to be. Yeah. He's going to pinch one of our seats, by the way. But he's going to be put there, and it's not that far to just yell a few things down, and I'm sure he'll have his little
He's a live wire himself. He's a live wire actor on the sideline. I love watching him.
Through the hair.
Well, it reminds me, it's funny because we watch a lot of Pisa this season as well, and Pippo Inzaghi seems almost calmer than Simone, which is something you would never have guessed when they were playing for Lazio and AC Milan or Juventus respectively. So there's this sort of shift in dynamic between the two of them.
I like that. Before the Napoli game at the weekend, Conte was great in his press conference before the match, and one of the things that he said was that the players, and I'm paraphrasing, that they needed to keep their emotions in check. And then minutes into the game, he's obviously losing his head and then gets sent off. So that I felt that Nigel and I on the commentary had a little bit of a laugh about that. But look, one of the things he said as well, actually, before that game, which I found interesting, was that he said that he was feeling the pressure, that he felt a weight of responsibility on his shoulders, and said that he probably feels it more at Napoli than at any other club because of the fact they've only won 3 league titles, and the pressure to win another one is perhaps more than it might be, or means more than it might do at one of the traditionally more successful clubs like a Juve or an Inter or a Milan. So I found that quite interesting too. So maybe when you listen to his pre-match press conference, it maybe wasn't too much of a surprise that he did ultimately feel the pressure in that game and end up getting himself sent off.
There's been so many pressure games for Napoli, but I think one of the great Serie A moments for us, especially being there as fans, spectators at the Atalanta-Napoli match.
That was one of my moments of the season. Yeah.
I remember we called that, which is like, this is the greatest Serie A match we've ever been to. It was so good.
The technical level of that game was exceptional, wasn't it? And interestingly, I've seen that, I can't remember which Napoli player it was, but before, when I was doing my reading for the Parma game, one of them said that they felt that, I think it might have been Billy Gilmore, said that was the turning point for him in the season in terms of their belief, I guess he was referring to. But you're right, it was one of the highest technical level games that I think I've ever seen, and certainly in my time covering the league anyway. It's one of the most highest. So, yeah, that I was actually going to mention that if you would ask me again about the moments of the season, because it was such an enjoyable game as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. Was it 2-1 Atalanta?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And I remember you saying what we need now, because we were situated beside the Atalanta
fans. We scripted
fans.
The whole game, by the way, from the stands.
We were beside the Napoli away fans in that part of the Atalanta stadium. And David said, this needs to go 2-2 and then 3-2 to Napoli late in the game at our end. And then sure enough, Napoli
won 3-2. We got great content right there. I mean,
and the fans,
you should see the fans up against the clear fencing there. You know, the perspex, and they're just banging into it. And it was amazing. It was amazing. It was raw.
You know, just going back to what you were saying about Ranieri, it made me think that, I know it's not a moment of the season, but for me, a takeaway, if I can put it like that, from the season, is how many managers, because you talked about Ranieri being one of the stories of the season, you could make a case for so many different coaches to be the manager or the coach of the year in Italy. You know, when you think Italiano winning Bologna's first major trophy in 51 years, you think of Inzaghi reaching a Champions League final and being, and could yet win the Scudetto as well. You think of Conte completely turning around Napoli. You know, these are all managers who are, you know, who are contenders along with Ranieri. I think Baroni's done a good job as well at Lazio. Wouldn't be in contention necessarily for manager of the year, but there've been so many coaches who've had such a big impact on their clubs.
So we're gonna finish off here, because Adam will have to go soon. But the Calcio Coach of the Year. First, we'll go to the Coppa Italia Coach of the Year, Vincenzo Italiano.
Yeah, I mean, I rate him as one of the best, or potentially one of the best coaches in Europe. I don't think he's there right now, but I think he's got the potential to reach that. I think he's on that path. So, I mean, he's got to be right up there. I mean, if Conte goes on and wins the Scudetto, I think it's hard to look past him as the coach. Yeah, so. I think when you consider the size of the turnaround from last season, and a lot of it with the same players too. I mean, I think 7 of the starting 11 at the weekend had been there when they last won the league. I think the week before it was 8 of them. So what Conte's doing is he's winning it, if they do win it, in a completely different style to what they did under Spalletti as well, which I think is very impressive too, because with similar players, a similar group, winning it in a totally different way as well. So I think if Conte wins the league, it's got to be him, but Italiano is right up there. Yeah.
And obviously Champions League, Simone Inzaghi, he's the man. He has been for so long. He's been up there, even the FIFA Best Awards and all the coaching accolades of the last 2-3 years. And if he can do it, do you think he's going to do it?
Well, I hope so. I really do, because I'm a huge admirer of Inzaghi. I'm constantly bleating on about him to anyone who will listen, really, and have been doing for several years.
You sound like Dan.
I mean, and I've been surprised that he's had a bit of stick this season as well at times, because I just think that the body of work that's behind him now throughout his career, not just at Inter, I mean, it's easy to forget that he started his senior managerial career in a chaotic circumstances, really, replacing Bielsa, who came and went very quickly at Lazio. He knew he wasn't the first choice for that job, but he was promoted from the youth system where he'd done a good job. He'd filled in temporarily, and they said, look, it was almost like, oh, what do we do now? Well, let's just give it to Inzaghi, because, you know, he was there, he'd stepped in previously, and I thought he did a fantastic job at Lazio, and he's really built on that at Inter. He's reached 2 Champions League finals with them now, and he's just an ex. I mean, when you think the combination of him and Marotta and others in the hierarchy into that combination of his coaching, their savvy in the market, the squad building, I mean, that's going to have to come into play even more now, because it's an aging squad. It's by far the oldest in Serie A. So they're going to have to go again in terms of how they rebuild a little bit and bring in fresh blood. So we'll see how that pans out. But the job that they've done, the squad they've assembled, the titles that they've won, it's some feat, really.
Yeah, something to remember. The Adam Summerton Player of the Season. Can you give us one Italian player and one foreign player? My Italian player, most improved, is Mandragora at Fiorentina. I absolutely love him, and he's proved me right, thank you, in the last couple of months. I want him called up for Italy, but let's hear from Adam.
I mean, again, there's so many different contenders, but if we're to, you know, look at the situation at Atalanta at the start of the season with Scamacca picking up that long-term injury, and people are thinking, oh, you know, what's going to happen here? And for Retegi to come in and score the amount of goals that he has done, look, there are many of the players that I could mention, but the sheer number of goals that he scored, it's hard to look beyond him, really, isn't it, in terms of signing of the season and player of the season. He's got to be right up there.
I'm with you on that. And that's as an Italian or overall player?
No, that would be as an Italian. I mean, there are lots of players that I can.
Are you going to go Scott McTominay for the fans here in the UK? Or?
Certainly, the way that, I mean, you want players who are going to step up in big moments, don't you? And whilst, you know, throughout the season, he's not always been at the level he is right now throughout the whole season. However, the level that he has reached in the real business end of the season, the goals that he scored, the contributions that he's made, I think it's 5 goals and 2 assists in his last 6 matches, I think that is, and I think 4 or 5 player of the match awards in there as well. I mean, he's just how he's integrated himself there has been just fantastic. So, yeah, I suppose for foreign player, he's again got to be. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I don't want to come off here and think, why did I not say that player?
I've kind of given you that player there, so you're free to think of your own. But most people would say McTominay, surely.
Yeah.
You got a better one?
Foreign player?
Yeah. That's had more of an impact.
I suppose you could make a case for Lautaro Martinez purely because he has been irreplaceable. Inter Milan don't have a replacement for him. And when he's been not at his best, Inter have struggled. But then again, you could say that they've struggled because of Marcus Thuram not being there. So, you know, it's 6 of 1 and 6 of 2 of the other.
If I had to choose one this season, I'd go Thuram. But look at the way Inzaghi's rotated his squad, Champions League to Serie A. He's been able to get 6 points until he played his full-strength team on the weekend to get 1 point. He got 6 points with rotating his squad twice.
In terms of Italian players, I'd probably go with Riccardo Orsolini. I think he's been unbelievable for Bologna.
Yeah, he's been good, hasn't he?
Yeah. He has in many ways embodied the way Bologna turned things around. But it was a slow start under Italiano. And
he's an underdog as well.
Yeah, and he's Italiano.
And the overhead kick.
Yeah, exactly.
Sexy.
Yeah, that was still a side leaked out, by the way.
Yeah.
Spare a thought for me, fellas, because in the last few days, I can't tell you what they are because the TNT socials are going to be putting them out in the coming days, but I've had to pick a combined Inter-Napoli 11.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
And I've had to pick my team of the year. And just on what you were talking there about the about Lautaro Martinez, and I had to pick a front two from those two. I have left Martinez out. That is how competitive that was.
So you went for Thuram and Lukaku.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah.
I thought you wanted Medhi Taremi in the start.
No, I wanted right wing back. Or okay. Wing back.
You've been champion this course all season.
I mean, I'm even down to looking at Di Lorenzo and Dumfries, and I'm thinking, well, Dumfries has been amazing in the Champions League, but he's not had as many starts as you think in Serie A, and that all has to.
What's the formation? What's the formation you're going
for the team of the season? I've gone 4-3-3, and for the Inter Napoli combined, I've gone 3-5-2.
It has to be 3-5-2.
It's got to be,
It would be Dumfries in the 3-5-2, Di Lorenzo in the 4-3-3. That's what I can see.
And picking my centre-halves for my team of the year, I could only pick two because I went 4-3-3. That was so hard.
Hmm. Obviously, Juan Jesus is automatic first choice, and then whoever your partner was, Jesus.
So difficult, but great, good fun. I'll probably get heaps of stick and abuse when it
That was definitely cultural sarcasm there, but... Yeah, the boys aren't the biggest fan of good old Jesus, but look, I think we've wrapped up a few Serie A moments, and we thank Adam for his time. Thank you so much. We've enjoyed your calls all this season through. We're hoping that you're on the Napoli game, and if not, you'll be on Como Inter, one or the other, and we're going to put this out next week after the season's finished. So let us maybe, should we get a little tip of who's going to win the Scudetto from Adam?
Yeah, what do you think, Adam? Are you going to sit on the fence?
Well, no, I won't sit on the fence. I'll give you a prediction because I think it's fairly obvious that I would say Napoli. Home advantage, easier fixture on paper, a sold out crowd. Apparently there was 440,000 people queuing for tickets online.
One of them. And I was giving them updates. It took 4 hours and then it booted me out and I had to start again.
So it's like getting an Oasis ticket. Yeah. I think all things considered, taking any emotion out of it, which might be a factor actually. Will that pressure tell on Napoli? You know, club looking to secure only their fourth league title, that pressure might play a part. But all things considered, I'd have to make Napoli favourites, yes.
Okay, perfect. We love it. I love that. How about you guys?
Yeah.
And we love Adam coming on. Thanks very much, Adam Summerton. We hope to hear from you again soon. And obviously for next season, hopefully you'll be back and definitely doing Serie A next season.
Yes.
Good stuff. That's great. Great to know. TNT Sports, Adam Summerton, Serie A guru now as well. Calcio personality. All he's got to do now is learn Italian. Thanks very much.
Pleasure. Good to speak to you.